Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 116 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of the semi-final in the Supercoppa Italiana at Al Awal Park. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. Where Inter defeated Atalanta 2-0 to advance to a derby. Either way, whoever comes out of Juventus Milan for the final of the Supercoppa Italiana, going for their fourth in a row. Goals from Denzel Dumfries at the double. The first brace of his career in the 49th minute and 61st minute. Official podcast of Sempreinter.com. I always forget to say that. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about coming out of this game. A lot of narratives, a lot of stuff that's been spoken about Inter and some players recently, now that the windows open up. So we have a bunch to get into. I think the first place that we should go to, and as always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joins here by Johnny Paterno. I think the first place that we should go to is, now that we've advanced past Atalanta, and we're going to face one of Juventus or Milan in the final, did this competition all of a sudden become must-win?
To me, it's always been must-win because it's an easy one now. It's easy. Atalanta was never a chance. We are their daddy, okay? We own Atalanta. Gasperini, for how badly he wants to beat us, he is now Simone Inzaghi's bitch. Let's be honest. 7 defeats in a row. 2 straight without scoring a goal. You're not really a threat to Inter. Maybe you could be Scudetto challengers, but head-to-head, you're not a threat to Inter. And now, I don't take the other two teams seriously. To me, those are two teams we should slap around. I know we drew, with UF 4-4. That's probably not happening again, let's be honest. So, and Milan, I don't care. New coach bump, it ain't going to help. We own Sergio, too. He didn't score against us either, so I ain't worried. Must win? No, it's not even a must win because we are going to win.
Johnny feeling extremely confident after what was an ass kicking. I mean, anyone that Gasperini, obviously came out and made his comments about whether or not that first goal for Inter should have been disallowed. We will talk about that for sure, as well as Atalanta's goal getting chalked off, which I don't think there's any discussion to be had there. But despite all of the moaning and the bitching, Inter just absolutely dominated Atalanta. There were 2 chances that Atalanta had in the first half with Scalvini, with the point blank header, and then the goal that was disallowed, and that was it. Inter should have won this game 5 or 6-0 if a certain player had his shooting boots on, but he doesn't seem to be able to find them recently, and we'll definitely get into that. So we're heading to the final. Who do you think wins that game tomorrow, by the way?
I think Milan wins.
Wow. New manager bounce?
New manager bounce helps them against a weak Juve. But that's it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I think I don't know that I want it to be Milan. I think the game that I want more revenge for, despite the fact that we lost against Milan and drew Juventus, I think Juve is the team I want the revenge for.
I don't want them in this. I don't want to beat them. I want to beat them in the reverse fixture.
Okay.
So that, yeah. Milan, I mean, Milan, I like to give them a little taste of being close to a trophy and then just ripping it from them. Juve is a joke.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be nice to put a little a little dampening on Sergio Conceição's move to Milan. I'm sure they're going to be super excited for it, but I think Juve is going to come out of that game. But either way, it sets up an exciting final, which at the end of the day, like I think if Inter is looking at this thing, there's a pride element for sure, but also 8 million in the coffers is definitely something that we can always play for. You saw how passionate Marotta was in the stands today. I think he would like to have that 8 million at his disposal. So let's see how things play out.
Yo, that's Nico Paz right there, guys. That's Nico Paz right there. Let's get that money.
A lot of rumors, and I have so much to say about the transfer window, but we'll have to save it for the end. All right, so let's talk about this game. We'll start with the lineups. Inter went with their strongest 11. The back three that we've been dealing with, you know, Sommer, Bastoni, De Vrij, Bissek. The midfield was the midfield. You know the midfield. Dumfries and Di Marco on the wings, and Thuram and Lautaro. Atalanta started with a front three of Brescianini, Samardzic, and Zaniolo. It has to be, the question has to be asked, like, was Gasperini almost too afraid to play his guys from the start because he didn't want, you know, he would prefer the narrative if we're going to lose, like, I would want to be able to lean on the excuse that we didn't play our best from the beginning.
I don't think he was afraid to play his best players from the start. I think it was more so he saw, you know, you look at their fixture list coming up in January, it's congested for them. And even though they are a pretty deep squad, they're not as deep as we are. Let's be real. So he probably thought, hey, this doesn't do anything for us. Like, yeah, you know what? It would have been a trophy, whatever, some money. But unlike us, they aren't really starving for money. You know, they do very well in balancing the books. They do very well in buying cheap, selling at maximum value. They don't need this money as much as we do. So I think that he thought, you know what, I'd rather preserve some of my best players for the long January that we're going to have coming ahead. Now, it didn't make sense when he brought them on in the second half, down 1-0, but he did try to rest them for the most part.
It's interesting that you say that, because there's actually a rumor that Arsenal is going to go in for Lategi for 55 million euros. So that would be another plus valenza on Atalanta's part. But yeah, I don't think that they weren't taking the game as seriously, but the product on the pitch was one of Inter dominance. And part of that dominance was there was a certain player that was getting himself, there's no way around this at this point. He got himself into some amazing positions, got some great shots off, some shots that he should have done much better with. Karnesecki, it has to be said, was on one today. But Lautaro Martinez could have had three goals in the first half, could have added another in the second half, almost had an assist for Dumfries on the non-penalty call there. How do you grade this performance? Are you encouraged from, you know, from the stance of like, well, he got a lot of shots off today and got himself into good positions? Or was this a step back after finally getting on the score sheet against Cagliari this past weekend in the Serie A?
This was a step back. You have to finish something, man. It's getting to the point where I don't know. I can't defend you anymore. It's not that I don't want to. I just can't. There's no excuse. The only one that I could really be like, okay, was the insane save by Karnesecki in the first half on the one that he volleyed.
Which one? Yeah.
The one that he volleyed, like that he volleyed and he like hammered it down, which honestly is the right thing to do. It makes it difficult for a goalkeeper to react. You put it down, it adds bounce. You don't know where it's going. Phenomenal save. I can't really blame him for that.
Yeah.
But the ball that he was played clear on, that I believe it was
in the second half, the Di Marco.
No, in the first half, the one that De Vrij gave him, where I believe it was Ederson who missed. You know, tried to slide in and make the play, and he was just able to go clean in. Yes, he took a shot from outside the 18, but I kind of expected better. And the worst part was he looked slow being able to pull away from the center back who was close. I think it was Hien who was, or is that how you say his name? Heian? Heian? I always say it wrong.
Heian.
who was closing in on him there. Okay, yeah, but like, I don't know. For his quality, I guess I expected a better finish. Karnisecki made a good save, fine. And then, the one with the one that DiMarco played him through, that's inexcusable. Inexcusable. You can't defend it. And like you said, he should have had, I really think he should have had at least 5 goals, to be quite honest. Maybe some of them were a little bit harder to get clean on goal, but, you know, the header that he didn't put in, I don't know, man. It's
the 94th minute breakaway that he puts
so wide. Yeah. So wide. It was like, and the worst part was, as soon as I saw it going onto his left foot, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And it was even worse than I initially thought it would be.
The 94th minute. There, you can say like he was exhausted. He did work.
Dude, I don't care how tired you are, man. At least get it on goal.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I think the constant, I don't know whether you can call it faith, but the constant like throwing him out there to turn it around just by being on the pitch, I think might be backfiring a little bit, because now you're getting extended periods of time on the pitch where he's just missing. Like, his morale is not being boosted by being on the pitch for 90 minutes and missing sitter after sitter after sitter. I think the one against Cagliari was the highest expected goal total that was missed. Some stat like that. I've seen the data put it out. And then today there were a few of those that just, like, it's got to be crushing mentally for him, to the point of like, just sit down for a little bit. Just sit down for a little bit. Taremi, Correa, like, I know that's not super exciting for people given their form. Correa, you know, I think people might be interested in seeing, but obviously Taremi has been rough for us as well. But I do think it's worth just...
Were you mad when Taremi passed the ball in the second half, where he had a shot and he laid it off, and I believe it went to DiMarco that ended up on Fratesi taking a poor shot? I think his confidence is shot too. Because I think if he were there mentally, I think that he would have taken that shot and not passed it himself. That's a little frustrating.
That's the kind of move that you pull if you're like 5-0 up. That's almost like a striker. Like, no top striker is going to be staring a chance like that in the face and just like actively passing it up if you're not either like A, so far ahead on the score sheet that you're just like, you know, let's help someone else around me, or B, you're shot mentally. Like, there's no striker is going to be 8 yards away from net and not attempt to do anything with it. So there's a problem up top for sure. Not even considering Marcus Thuram didn't come out for the second half today because Inzaghi said that he felt a pull in his adductor.
Oh,
so that's not great.
Nope.
Now he's a doubt for the final. The Lautaro discussion is getting much harsher on Twitter. If you were on Twitter during the game today,
I've actually been staying off Twitter lately. I haven't really been as active.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julian is getting clipped by several different places for his commentary on Lautaro during the game.
Oh God!
Calling him a fat ass and telling him to stop eating cheeseburgers, and it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal.
We don't have cheeseburgers. Club.
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers in Milano.
The captain of the club is public enemy number one right now, which is just, it's not a good position to be in. I don't think you can have the conversation without commenting on the fact that he does. Like, he got himself 5 or 6 clear opportunities. 5 or 6 clear opportunities that a really good goalkeeper stopped him from scoring. You know, laid it off when he had to lay it off. I do think that there were some positive performances to his game. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there's 2 things that, you know, make the performance not good enough. Or 2 things that make it not redeemable. He's the captain of the club. He's the captain of the club. You have to lead by example and be clinical when it's time to be clinical. And be like, there's five forwards on the squad and no one can score outside of Thuram. Like, he's got to put that to bed.
No, it's tough to watch, really, especially when you saw him, the way he performed so well last season to now. I don't know if it's because he's disappointed he didn't come up higher in the Ballon d'Or rankings or what. I don't know, but like, you can't keep allowing your game to suffer because you're only hurting your squad at this point. Like, it's just, it's really difficult. And yeah, I'm at a loss for words with Lauti.
You know, it was also interesting. There was a 2-on-1 in the second half with Di Marco, who had a clear sight on goal himself and decided to lay it off to Lautaro, who, you know, got a foot to it. But we talked about this last episode of, like, at what point do his teammates that are serving him these opportunities, at what point do they get frustrated? Because after he missed that chance, Atalanta went down the other end, put the ball in the back of the net. It was eventually ruled out. But before it was ruled out, you had the sense of, it was the 74th minute or 77th minute, and you had the sense of, like, did Lauti just, did him missing that sort of start the negative momentum for Atalanta to find their way back in the game with 15 minutes left?
Yeah.
And a captain buries those opportunities, or at least that's the expectation. So things are bad in Lautaro land. I think the mentality, I think he's in trouble from a mental standpoint. These 100%. Misses, the voices are going to get louder. It's impossible for an athlete to not pay attention to that. I think the best thing for him is to just get him off his feet for a second. He's been playing a lot. Just get him off his feet. And if Thuram's fit, against either Juventus or Milan, I don't hate throwing out a lineup of Taremi and Correa. I know
honestly, I don't either. I really don't. Like, I think we're still good enough with the players around them to, if let's say that's the change, the only two changes we make, and we start everybody else the same, we're good enough to beat either of those teams, in all honesty. So yeah, I'd be okay with it.
And it might spark those two getting into the kind of form that we need them to get into. So yeah, I'd consider it if I was Inzaghi. Again, Simone has been downplaying all of this in his post-match interviews, and obviously he knows Lautaro better than anyone, but as a striker, as a former striker himself, I think, you know, Simone has to do what's best for both Lautaro and the team at this point. And that's just get him a break, a mental, you know, reset. What happens if we end up losing the final and it's partly down to a huge miss by Lautaro? Like, you're in really rough territory there. In really rough territory for the rest of the season.
Is that when you offer a straight swap to Sporting for Gyökeres?
God, he's not even worth a quarter of what Gyökeres is going to go for at this point.
Oh, I thought you were about to disrespect Gyökeres. Okay, but yeah, no. I agree.
And Sharma tweeted, I think during the game, a link back to when Lautaro was linked to a $240 million move to Saudi Arabia. That had me laughing. So
are they still available? Is that offer still there?
Yeah, not after today, if anybody was in the stands watching. Which Brozovic was in the stands today, by the way, for the Interisti that miss him like I do.
I don't.
He was there. Quick little sidebar.
Let's
talking
hear it.
About the stands here. So I think like 9,000 people showed up to this game. One of the discussions that was going around Twitter today was about the atmosphere at these Supercoppa games. I remember it being really off last year. It was dead today.
Bring Apparently, it to the US.
Apparently they've sold out tomorrow.
So Juve Milan got sold out.
But Inter Atalanta didn't.
Sus. I still say bring it to the US. And I'm not saying you have to go to like, you don't even MetLife, but like you can go to Nashville, has a six soccer specific stadium that's like I think 15,000. LA has a great soccer specific stadium, whether it's LAFC or the LA Galaxy. I think if you go even Austin, Texas would be a fun one. You know, like you go to one of these MLS clubs and you go do that, bring it to the States. I guarantee you, no matter who you support, I'm not even saying this for just Interisti, whoever you support, sold out, not even a question. And you probably could go to MetLife and it probably would sell out if it was like the four big teams, you know, the Milans, the Juve, the Inter, whatever, Roma, Lazio, whoever else you want to throw in there.
I don't know how good the money is for this competition, but I don't know that it's worth, if this is like an advertisement for the league,
Saudis are putting up the $8 million, then yeah, we're not going to match that. Like, no U.S. sponsor is going to do that. But if it's, you know, I really don't know how they come up with it. So maybe it is just the Middle East money.
And where is that Middle East money in our league, by the way? Like, why hasn't one of them come in as far as ownership is concerned? I think is strange. Like, they've been linked to Italian clubs. Every cycle of, oh, this team is up for sale, this team's up for sale, it's been mostly Milan and Inter, but where is that money? I don't know really what we're getting out of this Saudi relationship, but I would rather hear, like, I would rather, if it came to the US, you know that we're going to be there, but yeah, I'd rather hear like a packed San Siro than whatever it was today. Someone tweeted out, like, you could hear people placing their orders for food.
Did we found out two games are in Seattle and one game's in LA for our the Club World Cup?
Two game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think we just planned a trip to Seattle and we try to just hit both games in Seattle.
I've never been, so I've been
definitely. Me neither.
I would definitely be down for that. All right. Let's kill that sidebar and head over to this game. So from the first half, obviously we talked about all those missed chances from Lautaro. That was most of the first half outside of a late shout for a penalty on Denzel Dumfries. He gets into the box. I watched Mediaset after the game. They slowed it down every single angle. It did look like Heaton got to the ball. And then, you know, came through Dumfries at the end, but it did not look like a penalty to me. Do you think there's any? You're on the same page.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I didn't even think it in real time. I didn't think it when I saw the replays that they were showing when they were, you know, discussing if it should be. I was like, that'd be a soft one. I was okay with it not being called, and it, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that called against you.
Exactly.
Then we come out of the half, Thuram. Not on the pitch. Taremi comes on the pitch, so we're going to keep an eye on what's going on with him. But Denzel Dumfries opens up the scoring on a very controversial piece of play there. Bissek goes up for a header on a corner and clearly hits it over the bar without it touching Heaton. Again, like, they slowed all this stuff down on Mediaset after the game. It wasn't, Heaton didn't get to it. Bissek had the last touch. It should not have been the ensuing corner, which then came in. And what they were looking at was a push on the back of Scalvini by Dumfries before the ball gets to him. And he does that pretty impressive scissors kick, but like sort of from the side to open up the scoring. For me, the action of him pushing off his back wasn't anything because they both were going up for it. There was not enough force for a 6'5" guy or whatever his height is, a guy like Scalvini to be falling like that. At some point, like, our game can't be completely devoid of physical contact. Like, it's not realistic. So yep. For me, there's no foul there. Good goal. But we do have to fully admit that that corner should not have been taken.
No, 100%. Very fortunate for us. you know, if you're an Atalanta fan, I can understand your frustration with that. I know if had it been the other way, I'd be very pissed off. Not so much like if the roles were reversed completely, and let's say whatever, Bastoni's the one who looks like he got pushed, it wouldn't be a foul to me. But the fact that they even got a, to even get a corner off of something that was not deserved is kind of crazy. And you know, yeah, I sympathize with Atalanta fans. However, you know, it's also not our fault that it wasn't called. So like, I can't really, you know. I don't know. Yeah. We can't go to the refs and be like, "Hey, I touched it." You know, like that stupid commercial from back in the day where that kid confesses to throwing the ball out or whatever. So, yeah, unfortunate for them, but yeah, fortunate for us, of course. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Gasperini was crying about it in the post game, and like, I have some sympathy. I think he went a little bit too far with it, saying that. Obviously mentioning the corner that should not have been given, like, fair, but then saying it was a clear foul on Scalvini,
that, see, that's a little ridiculous.
And then also saying that De Vrij was obstructing Karnesecki, that's not even close to a consideration, because it's a fairy tale situation that happened. So like, you lose sympathy when you bitch too hard, right? Like, you went a little bit too far with it, Gasperini. The corner, like, it's not a VAR. VAR can't intervene on that. It was a call by the ref on the field. He got it wrong. The corner shouldn't have been taken, but that doesn't take away from the fact that Atalanta was getting completely dominated. Like, they didn't deserve to come out of the game with a victory. And also, you're making shit up about there being multiple fouls on the goal. But either way, Denzel Dumfries gets on the score sheet, and then his first ever brace in professional football. He gets a ball, slides over. I believe it was, I forget who played the ball to Taremi. I think it was Di Marco.
Yeah, it was Di Marco.
Yep. It goes over. I think Kosunu goes to challenge it, gets into to Dumfries, and you're expecting maybe a heavy touch, maybe one too many touches, but no.
Who was expecting?
Right. Everyone.
You were?
Everyone. No.
I never had a doubt. I always knew Denzel Dumfries was this talented of a player. You know, I've been saying it for years that he might be the best right wing back in the world. You know, when he's at his best, he gives me Maicon vibes. Absolutely just phenomenal finish. I mean, probably he might be the best finisher on the team. Let's be honest, right? I don't think there's anybody better with the ball at his feet. Nothing that I'm saying is a lie or an exaggeration by any means. This is all factual and could be backed up by evidence. And I am the biggest Denzel Dumfries stan in the Inter fan base. Everybody knows that.
This is what we're going to do now?
What happened?
What? You're saying that you expected Denzel Timberland's Brick Freeze Dumfries to one-time it from the top of the box, rifle it past Karnesecki, who was having an amazing game up until that point. That was your expectation of how that was going to play
from
out.
From the biggest part of my heart, I never had a doubt. Always knew it. I mean, Denzel, you know, Denzel Justice Morris Dumfries is the greatest right wing back and just a phenomenal finisher. Like, we just... His touch and his ability to curve the ball, he opens up so perfectly to strike that into the top. I mean, never had a doubt in my mind. Knew it from the moment it reached his foot. I was like, this is going in.
It's the level of difficulty to one time a shot from the top of the box into the net like that is actually a serious question. How many Inter players are doing that? Hakan? Di Marco.
Hakan, Di Marco.
Barella.
Bastoni, I think, could.
I could see Bastoni doing it. Turam's got a banger in his locker, for
Zielinski.
Sure.
Zielinski. I won't put Turam, but I'll put Zielinski.
All right. So Denzel has to be added to the list of players.
Denzel.
Players that can do that. Favorite performance in an Inter shirt from Denzel? We've said this multiple times.
I think three times this season. I think three times this season, this is, we've said, best performance from Denzel Dumfries. Unbelievable. And, but then it goes to show you, like, why can't he do this every game? That's what's frustrating.
You think the renewal had something to do with it? That's another story that's going on.
The what?
The renewal.
Oh, so now he gets paid and now he plays better? Lauti gets paid, he plays worse?
Doesn't have to worry about it. I mean, shouldn't Lauti be looking at this saying, I can come back? If Denzel can come back from what he came back from to be, honestly, if you read Inter Twitter today, he's one of the favorite players on the team. After going from sell this man immediately to you have like average Joe out here tweeting he's a top 10 right back, right wing back in world football, which I don't disagree with at this point. How can Lauti not look at that and be encouraged that he has the ability to make it back?
I mean, yeah, it's a valid question.
Yeah, so Denzel is, there should be no talk of Darmian making his way back into the starting lineup. This is, you know, we saw it last year with Denzel starting the season on fire and then getting hurt and Darmian coming into the side. This year, it was Darmian starting the season hot. And now Denzel's come back into the team. And without question, he is he's the best right wing back on the team and should be there if it's a super important game. It should be him and DiMarco. I'm really encouraged by what I see from Dumfries. Really, really encouraged by it. I feel differently about him. I do.
I would have to agree with you. You know, I mean, I know I could be very harsh with him, but it's also deserved. I don't think it's, you know, undeserved. If you watch the games and you could be unbiased, you could understand the harshness, but today was phenomenal on every aspect, though, not just the scoring. I thought that he played a very complete game, which was amazing to see. So I hope he can keep this up, and I may have to add him to my collection of Inter cards because he's a player I've purposely avoided spending money on. But if this is how he's going to perform, yeah, he could definitely earn his way into the ranks.
He's been great defensively. He is, yep, a weapon in the air. He's been finding ways to get into space a lot recently. I don't know. The team has a lot of balance with him in the side and on this form. The best version of Inter is an Inter with Dumfries playing like he did today. Nima somehow was able to bring Maicon vibes to life.
It took him long enough.
It's happening. It's all happening for Denzel Dumfries. Right before our eyes. It is a good time to probably bring up somebody. I think it was like New Year's Day or New Year's Eve was savaging the Interviews podcast for constantly shitting on Mkhitaryan, which isn't true. When he plays poorly or is unable to put easy chances on target the same way that Lautaro did today, and we went at him. Like, when you play poorly, you might get criticized. When you play well, you won't. It's not really that deep, guys. Like, no one, there's no one, we don't hate, we've never hated Dumfries or Mkhitaryan. It just, it's conversation, right?
I've hated Dumfries. I'll be honest. I'll come clean. There was moments where I've hated Dumfries. But I also don't have a problem admitting
I support all Inter players and will always. I want to put that out there.
That doesn't mean I don't support him, but it, you know, there's times where he's done stuff where I hated him for it. I mean, I've hated Lautaro too. There was a part 2 years ago where I was like, hey, I'm okay selling him with the way he was performing. Like, if you're not, I care about this club. In 10 years, when all these guys are gone, you know who I'm still going to be rooting for? Inter. It's not going to matter who's wearing the kit. It's going to matter. What matters is the crest. I have the Inter crest tattooed on me. I don't have, you know, Nicola Barella tattooed on me. Although that might happen. Who knows? I mean, maybe I will. Maybe I'll get a leg sleeve and I'll get all my favorite Inter players on there. But I don't know. People get too defensive of individuals and don't care about the whole. We all want the same thing. Inter to win titles. That's it. I don't care. Denzel Dumfries can score 40 goals next season. Win Capo Canoniere. As long as we get the Scudetto, I don't care. I don't care who's putting in the goals. I just want to win. Now, if you're playing trash, I'm going to call you out. When Barella, I think it was during, Inzaghi's first season, he was playing absolutely horrendous in the beginning months with Inzaghi. Horrendous. And I was calling for him to be benched. If you're playing poorly, you shouldn't play. That's how I feel. I don't care how I feel about you personally. How are you going to learn? If you keep making the same mistakes and I keep throwing you in the starting 11, are you going to learn from those mistakes? No, if you sit down and think about how you're screwing the team, maybe you'll learn. But, you know, people want to defend Mkhitaryan like he's better than Cambiasso or Stankovic or other people who've played for this club. It's like, settle down. He's been very poor a lot of times this season.
That was very well said. Are you going for your coaching license?
All right, all kidding aside, I am trying to get a coaching license. And I might be going for a scouting license, but that's...
Well, you got me pumped up. But the game rolls on. We've got a quick... I don't think there's much of a discussion to be had, but we've got to quickly just touch on the Ederson goal that was ruled out.
Guys, forget about that one. Look, can we talk about the double save?
I was
at the end?
Get on the list, brother.
Okay, right, sorry. Here. Sorry. Okay. I don't mean to confide. My bad.
Letter of the law, it's a disallowed goal. Like, he's offside. We count the millimeters. Am I the biggest fan of like stuff like that? Millimeters ruling out otherwise, like, you know, good goals or fairly decent goals, even though it needed a touch by Di Marco to ultimately end up in the back of the net. But it is what it is. Like, that's it's the letter of the law. There's not much to really say outside of that. Unless you got something to say.
No, I agree 100%. And if it was against Inter, people would be celebrating. So
100%. And you know what? We are going to have to deal with something like that at some point. So it is what it is. Jan Sommer. Really good today again. I think he's on a bit of a heater, Johnny. I think he's on a bit of a heater.
Phenomenal. I mean, just a phenomenal goalkeeper. Calm. The double save at the end there. The ability to make the first save, recover, make the second save. That could have easily been a 2-1 goal. And now, granted, I don't think they would have won. But to have the positional awareness and the reflexes that he has, I can't say enough good things about Jan Sommer. And for everyone who says, like, oh, we're seeing some Handanovic because he doesn't react to a ball that's going clearly wide, you need to settle down. You need to settle down because Handanovic would not have reacted the way Sommer did today on these. I am thrilled that he's our goalkeeper. I'm excited for the future with Martinez, but I don't feel unsafe with Sommer in net, as I did with Handanovic in years past.
The other thing about that double save is there wasn't a third save to be made because immediately after making those two saves, he also pressured Lookman, who was going to the ball. And the only way that Lookman could have tried to put in the net was to try to go high, but the angle, the trajectory was so close that he wasn't even able to put it on goal. And that was a continuation of the goalkeeping that Sommer was doing in that moment immediately after making two close range saves. So, yeah, he's a pro's pro. He's here for at least, you know, one more year. I tweeted in response to, I think, Ventola saying that Inter is taking a good, close, hard look at Filip Stankovic. I said that I want Sommer to be on this team next year. I don't think that the starting job should be automatically handed to him. I think, you know, one more year into your 30s and the second year of Martinez at the club, it should be an open competition this summer. But this, you see what I did there? This summer, but feel really good about whatever role he occupies the rest of the year and into next year. If he ends up starting again, you know, I feel okay with it. If he ends up being the backup option behind Martinez and continuing to mentor him, I'm okay with him doing that too. In a short time at the club, like, he's a good Interisti. He's a good representation of the badge, and I really like his professionalism and the way that he shows up in big moments. You get a goal against you in that moment, similar to, you know, if Ederson's goal would have counted in the 75th or whatever it was, you know, things get very nervy towards the end of the game. Not to mention, there's no extra time. Like, that is going right to penalties. And I don't know if anyone remembers Inter's last penalty shootout, but that didn't really work out. So it was a big save in the moment, and have to give him his flowers. Inter has scored 14 goals from defenders this year. By far the highest in Europe. You're including DiMarco and Dumfries in that, and at times they don't really play as defenders, but it's an incredible total for a team that plays total football, and when your strikers are missing opportunities left and right, it shows the real strength of the team. Another strength of the team that's been emerging is Jan Bisek. Another really good game from him today. The headers on those set pieces or those crosses into the box, he could have scored a couple goals today too. It was just the technique was just a little bit off, but he could have had himself some goals today. Have you heard his post game interview with Andrea?
I have not.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Perfect Italian. Perfect really? Italian has learned the. It's not only like learned the language. He sounds so good and so fluent. And then Ranocchia got on the panel to ask him questions, and the smile that was on Bisek's face, like, he knows who Ranocchia is, like, was excited to be talking
to him.
That's
awesome.
It made me want to just, like, lock this guy down for as soon as possible, resist any bids. Well, he's already locked down, but resist any bids for him, like, keep him on the team for a long while. Love you, Bisek. All right. Do you have anything else to add about this game? We're about 45 minutes in. I think we covered a lot of the good points, and we have a little bit of a discussion here about some transfer stuff to get into.
No, nothing I want to add for the game.
Okay. All right, so Inter's on to the final to be played lunedì against either Juventus or Milan. Let's see how it goes, and hopefully we can bring home the first trophy of the year. All right, this week a rumor comes to light. Whether it's true or not, we'll debate it here. But Fratesi apparently wants out of Inter, unsatisfied with his or dissatisfied with his playing time. A potential exchange with Lorenzo Pellegrini of Roma being offered, being contemplated, and so forth. I have a lot to say about this, but I don't want to just go on for the next 15 minutes. So I'm going to kick it over to you for your thoughts on this rumor that conveniently dominates the headlines just a couple days before Inter is to take part in a cup.
I wish we would, as fans, think logically. I think we would not be sucked in so quickly if we did do this. If you look at what Oaktree wants to do, you look at what we want to do in terms of paying players and how we want to cut wages and not bring in more wages, to swap Fratesi for a player who is on the decline, let's be honest, who is on higher wages, and who doesn't fit our midfield three in any way, shape, or form, it makes sense only from a Roma standpoint and from an agent standpoint of Fratesi to kind of leak this out. But it doesn't make sense for Inter. And listen, say what you want about Piero, say what you want about Beppe. They know what they're doing. And I would say probably in the last 4 or 5 years, in terms of transfers, you could probably go 90% good and 10% bad. And in that 10%, you could really look at the Correa one. Gosens, depending on how you feel about him, either way, one way or another. Arnautovic. Those are probably really the only misses that we've had, if we really look at it objectively. It doesn't make sense for us to swap him out unless there's a financial, you know, incentive on top of it. Like, unless they're giving us 15, 20 million plus Pellegrini, it doesn't make sense to do a straight swap. And we are in no position to do a straight swap because from a financial standpoint, it would be a massive loss for us. So why would we do this, people? Like, let's just sit back and just think logically. That's it. That's all you have to do. I'm not asking you to, you know, dissect every instance or try to dig deeper into it or find out, you know, did Fratesi unfollow somebody on Instagram? None of that BS. But just look at it from us, from a financial standpoint, what this would do and how this would not make sense for us in any way, shape, or form. And it would be a bit one admitting defeat in the sense of we're just willing to take another huge hit on a player for no reason when there's we are in the position of power. Like, if somebody wants Fratesi, come pay for Fratesi. Don't, but you're not getting him for a straight swap for a player who is on the outs, who is probably going to fall out of favor soon enough, really, with Roma. And what, there's just nothing. There'd have to be money coming too. And even 15, 20 million isn't enough, like I said. It's probably got to be more, let's be honest.
I love everything you said there. I agree with all of it. So here's what I don't doubt. I don't doubt that Fratesi wants to play more. As of right now, it hasn't led to a loss in terms of his starting spot in the national team. He's starting for Italy. He's probably going to continue to start for Italy. And yeah, I don't think it's really had an effect there. But I don't doubt that he wants to play more, which is, I'm fine with that. I think
yes, any I want players who are hungry.
Exactly. I don't doubt that if Inter received an offer that was, you know, close to what they paid for him, more than what they paid for him, that they would accept it.
I think 40 million gets it done.
100%.
Like cash, 40 million.
Those two things for sure, I don't doubt they're probably true. Here's what I do doubt. I doubt Inter would be interested in trading a high value asset for a low value asset. You mentioned the age, the salary, the injury proneness, the where does he fit into the system?
He doesn't.
Not a Mezzala, like he's not, you know, a box to box like that. I doubt Inter would be interested in Pellegrini. I doubt Pellegrini, like it would be great for him to go to a team that's competing for competitions, but he's not going to play. Like I doubt that he would want to make that switch at this point in his career where he's probably fighting to go to his last major competition with Italy. Like I doubt he would want to really make that switch. I doubt yeah. Roma is gonna, you know, if Pellegrini is not involved in the deal, I doubt they're gonna fork over 40 million euros in the winter window. Here's what I am positively sure of. Beppe Riso, Fratesi's agent, this is a fact. He's getting paid when his players move clubs. For him, it's probably not even about forcing a move or trying to get the move started in the winter window. It's about the summer window. It's about getting the conversation started now when teams are planning for the summer window. Whether it's Roma, there was a rumor of Spurs. Whatever teams it is, I think this is Riso trying to get his commissions, not even necessarily trying to get his commissions, like starting the dialogue now, knowing that his client is going to play a similar amount to what he's played so far in the first half of the season, probably for the rest of the season, knock on wood, barring injury, to key players in the side. And that's what this comes down to. It's a nothing, nothing in it makes sense. And if nothing in it makes sense, it's probably coming from an agent. It's probably coming from an agent. And that's what I have to say about this this story. And I'm not surprised that it came out a day before
Nito's
leaving for Saudi Arabia.
That's usually how it goes. And I love how the news, everyone says Inter aren't the biggest club in Italy. But the news cycle always revolves around trying to tear down Inter. They never do it with Milan. They never do it with Juve. It's always us. We are the center of attention for every news and media outlet out there. I wonder why. Now, what I do want to ask, 40 million comes for Fratesi. You can turn and bring that to Real Madrid for a certain midfielder. Would you do that?
100%. I'm not against selling Fratesi at all. I just don't think what has been discussed is realistic. I don't think it's not I don't think. Inter is not swapping Fratesi for Pellegrini.
But I'll swap him for Nico Paz.
That's not happening. But in the summer,
I know it's not, but I would.
If an offer comes in, I'm sure that they're open to doing it. And that might be the best thing for all parties, honestly. I like Fratesi. I do. I want him to succeed. He's stuck behind Barella. That's a hard place to be. It just is.
Yeah. I mean, for any midfielder. But let's be honest, really. Like, you look at any midfielder in the world. Forget about just Serie A. Forget about Italy. Barella's keeping a lot of people on the bench. He's probably keeping everybody on the bench. I like, there's not a midfielder in Europe that I would take. You tell me right now, hey, I give you this guy, Barella, to the bench. Would you do it? There's not a midfielder you could point to that I would do that for. Not a single, not Florian Wirtz, not Jude Bellingham, not, you know, whoever. Whatever name you want to throw out there, nobody is taking my boy's spot ever.
And I'm sure Fratesi knows that. And I'm sure, like,
do you think he does though? Like, realistically, or do you think like he has a false sense of self that I am just as good, if not better, I should be playing? Or do you think he recognizes that he's not Barella?
I mean, dude, we both played the sport coming up. Like, you know, when someone else has got something, like, you have this undeniable self-belief and you want to be on the pitch, which I believe Fratesi has, but, like, you know, there's some dudes that are
like, there's a guy in my team now in my men's league that when he says he's taking the midfield, I drop the defense. No, every time I'm like, yeah. You got it, Will. Shout out Will Martin, AKA I coined him Will Martino. He's not Italian, but he plays like one. So Will Martino, big shout out to you, brother.
He's the Barella of the Las Vegas.
He's the Barella of Cluster 3 FC. That's what we're called.
So Fratesi's in a cluster right now. I get him wanting to play. I don't think he's going to his agent starting this conversation in the middle of a... Let's be real. Like, he wants to play. He'll get a move in the summer. What would he? What does he want to go to 10th place Roma for when he can compete for a Champions League in a
Scudetto? He is Roman.
He is Roman, but it's not like you have an opportunity to add to your trophy cabinet, and you are. He plays. He plays. He saw the pitch today. It's not an overwhelming amount of time, but
what about Fiorentina? What if do you think he would, you know,
go over there?
Yeah,
he'd be
a starter.
He'd be a starter. Listen, if you send over 40 million euros, I'm accepting it. But I don't think that 100%. It's going to happen this winter. I don't think.
Well, it's not going to happen in the winter. I don't think it's going to come from a Serie A team either, as much as we would want it to. And I'm sure that's what he would prefer. But let's see what Beppe Riso figures out.
Yeah. Again, that's what it is. It's Beppe Riso. And I also, like, I don't want to... I hope that we don't see some hate going Fratesi's way, because now the window's officially open. It might be another 30 days of this kind of conversation. And you know that, you know, you're telling people to think logically. It's tough for people to do that sometimes. So, like,
I doubt Fratesi is being an unprofessional person in this scenario. I just don't see it. This has been the story since he made the move over to Inter. And you've never, every interview, he's always been like, I'm fighting for playing time. He's always said, like, of course I want to play, but he enjoys being here and he's fighting for time, and you know, he may get his chance. You never know how things shake out, but I thought it was important to just address that because it's getting ridiculous. All right, let's get into these questions and then get out of here. Let's speed run through them. This one's gonna be rough. At Nerazzurri_1010, Patrick Kendrick doesn't hide his hate against Inter anymore. I mean, even Bonetti tried to be impartial. Yeah. Really quickly, you can hear the contempt that he has for Inter compared to, I'm not even going to say other teams, just listen to the way, and I'm sure if someone sends this over to him, like, of course he's going to say, like, question my integrity. I'm not questioning your integrity. I actually enjoy your commentary. I don't hear the same thing when you're talking about Napoli versus Inter. Like, it sounds like he loves everything Napoli's doing, but he also, there's some contempt there. I don't know what it is. This is probably gonna not lead to anything good, but
he used to work for Milan, so it could be that too. But I mean, I actually, when I was watching the game today, I watched it with no sound because I don't want to hear him. It's exhausting. His and even the way he tweets, it's infuriating. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, just grow up.
No, I hear what you're saying. I do. All right, let's move on. At a person 1352, considering the links we have to both players, who would you rather see at Inter between Nico Paz and Santiago Castro?
Nico Paz.
Considering all the chances Lautaro missed today, I'm leaning towards Castro. Yeah, I'm with you.
I respect that reasoning. I think that's a really sound reasoning for sure. And who knows? Maybe that is something that Inter looked to in the summer. You know, maybe they try to cut their losses potentially. I mean, I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. And it doesn't look good if you sell another captain. You know, that probably wouldn't happen. But who knows? Maybe that's how they think they could fund both purchases. But Nico Paz with Hakan and Barella, holy cow.
Haven't had a player like him in a long
time. I dream of that midfield. I do like Santiago a lot, and I think that he would fit in well. But I just feel like Nico is more ready right now to step. Like, if he came in the summer, he can go into the starting 11, even though Mkhitaryan, we know, is going to hold it down. But he is ready as a player.
No, he lights it up every time he touches the pitch. And we haven't had like that kind of, I don't know, there's a joy to watching him play that I think he has a higher ceiling than Castro. So
agree. I tune in to Como games just to watch Nico Paz play. Like,
he's like what we had hoped Ricky Alvarez was gonna be.
Oh my gosh. That is a great shout. Yeah, that's probably exactly. Maybe that's why I love him. Maybe
left-footed Argentinian. He was a little older when he got to Inter than Paz is now, but yeah, he was silky. All right, next question. I believe it is.
That was a great question.
Adam_ it was. Why doesn't Taremi shoot more? Oh, we talked about this a little bit. Sean says, just want to say I appreciate you guys. Keep it up. Thanks, Sean. All right, Sam.
Lautaro Alabama is Sean or Alabama, my boss Sean? Okay.
No, Alabama Sean. At Swaggins 34, Lautaro was really getting on my nerves. He played well, maybe as an attacking midfielder, but now a forward. My goodness, I'm officially tired of waiting for him to snap. All right, so this is more of a, not really a question.
But you just read the vent. Let him vent.
Let him vent?
Let him vent.
Because I'm officially tired of waiting for him to snap out of it. Those chances he missed today were so cringe. I don't care. Bench him. Do it.
Yeah.
He also says happy we won, though. So,
All right, last question. At Ronald PS 1993, does Lautaro break this bad form, or is this who he is now? This isn't who he is. The amount of chance.
You don't think so?
Yeah, today.
You don't think this is who he is now?
No, I don't.
Hmm.
I don't.
Okay.
I just think he's going through it. I just really think he's going through it. I would be concerned if it was more like the beginning of the season where he went completely missing for the games. But the last several games, like, he's been right in the thick of it, getting opportunities. He's just not finishing. So I feel like we're half of the way there to getting him back on track, where it went from he was not involved at all to the point where you couldn't, like, he didn't have opportunities to score, to now he's involved and has a ton of opportunities to score. He's just not putting it away. The last puzzle piece is he's got to see a couple of these opportunities go in, and then he's back.
I hope you're right. I don't know. I'm genuinely concerned, but again, hoping to be proven wrong.
Is the best duo we have right now, Correa Thuram? That was the best 1-2 punch we've seen all year.
Yeah.
It was the most electric 1-2 punch we've seen all year.
No, Correa Thuram. Yeah, easily. And the best chemistry, which was kind of crazy to, because I feel like they've never really played together.
No, they complement each other well.
Very well.
Lautaro's going to start this final, isn't he? It's going to be Lauti Taremi.
Lauti Taremi up top.
Yeah. Damn.
Oof.
All right. I'm tired. It's 11 p.m.
It is late for you.
I'm fading. But that was fun. Another win for Inter. On to the final here. Like I said, I really didn't give much of a shit about this competition. But now that it's a derby finale, we got to win this thing.
We're going to win this thing.
We're going to win this thing. All right.
All right.
In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.